Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until He takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. Championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in once again for a brand new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. My guest today, outside hitter for BYU men's volleyball, Mix Rominus. Mix, it's always good to see you. How you doing?
Doing great.
Thanks for doing this. I'm excited to be able to have this conversation with you. And the other thing I'm excited about is the fact that volleyball season is about to start. We were talking about looking at the calendar and just how quickly it's going to be upon us. Are you a big expectations guy? Do you look ahead, or do you just kind of take things as they come? What are your expectations for this upcoming season?
I mean, I hate to be an expectations guy anymore. Like I always have my idea of what we can do. But just, never sell yourself short or never go too high. I always feel like be in the moment at all times. And, I mean, it'll just come to you. So yeah. I'm excited for it.
Well, you just never know what's going to take place in a season. And we're going to get into some of those details coming up in a second. But I want to go back to 2021. That was your redshirt freshman. As a redshirt freshman in 2021, the BYU men's volleyball team had a really good team. You went 16-4 overall. Was it difficult for you to redshirt that year?
No, not at all. I mean, it was definitely an experience because I knew, like, genuinely at that time, Zach Eschenberg was better than me, Davide Gardini, they were both the starting outsides. They were just better. And, I mean, just being able to have the learning experience and luckily being able to redshirt and travel because, sadly, one of our players at that time had, like, a bad injury that happened. So I was the next guy up. So luckily I was able to just experience it with those guys and just learn from them, understand their perspectives, the way they play, and just seeing the whole thing unfold. And sadly we lost in the championship,
right,
but it was just an awesome experience to see those guys play.
You know, you bring up something that gets brought up in more general terms, not specifically with volleyball, but with sports these days. You had mentioned how you knew you had guys that were better than you, that were ahead of you, and that you had to wait for your opportunity to play. And I certainly don't want to speak in broad terms that every athlete is like this, because we certainly know it's not the case. But that aspect has sort of changed over the years, where, you know, now people, especially when you're really, really good and you're highly recruited, guys don't want to have to come in and sit behind anybody. You want to come in and you want to play. And if you don't get to play, a lot of times you're taken off. Where was that attitude? Where did you learn that attitude? Is that from your upbringing, or where did you get that type of mindset?
I mean, yes, I know they're. I just want to start off. Yes, I know they're better than them, but I know I can get to that level. Let's just put it that way at first. But I understood that ever since club, like there were certain situations where I didn't play or certain events happening because, of course, bad playing and all this. But when I came to BYU, I understood the assignment it took, because 2020 was the year they were supposed to win they were going to win the national championship. But it was just understanding that these guys are great and I'm here to learn. Like, because at that time I knew, like, I want to compete. I want to beat those guys out. That was, of course, my mindset coming in. But I never let the idea of them being better than me hold me back of what I was trying to do. I just understood that assignment. Like, I learned from them, I saw from them, like, what they did, how they played, and I just kind of used it to my advantage, basically, for these last couple of years.
So you talked about how good the team was in 20. We talked about what the team was able to do in 21. In 2022, this is when you finally get to play, and then it's a rough season. How difficult was that for you?
I mean, it was difficult, and it was kind of a – I genuinely think it was just a team dynamic difference, because, of course, some guys were coming back, some guys were going, and there's just – of course, it was just bad team dynamics. But I understood. I learned from that and was able to, again, use it to my advantage, because I understood what – I hate to say this, but I understood what those players did wrong in those, like, team dynamic situations, and able to utilize it to, like – create a better situation for myself on the team, so the team chemistry could just be going, like, not setting your, like, not having too big of it, not having an inflated ego, and just, like, making sure you're always just, like, supportive, even though, like, there's one guy that might have, like, ticked you off a little bit here and there. That happens with all teams.
Sure.
But, like, just always saying, like, always understanding their perspective and not letting it like hold you back or hold the relationship back, and especially not holding the team back. So I feel like that year it was just like I saw that and it was just I accepted it. It was tough during the whole season, like throughout the season, but during that time I just accepted it and ran with it.
So then how much more did you and your teammates appreciate 2023 when things started to bounce back?
Oh, we loved it so much. It was awesome. Just finally, it was the new guy's turn. You know what I mean? like, of course, we had Mitch Worthington still and a couple other, like Heath Hughes, but like who are senior guys. But just like at that point, we were a young team and we were able to create a new type of chemistry, a new team, basically. Like that was just a complete fresh start. And it was just nice seeing the potential we had in the gym and the ways we were able to push ourselves. So that just really excited us and just got us going. And like we were the underdogs. We came in unranked and we were like, come on, we know we're better than this. Like, especially from the years past, like we knew we had our work cut out for us and I'm pretty sure we showed everybody.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a lot more about BYU volleyball throughout the course of the conversation. But this, more than anything else, is for people to get to know you and your story. So I'm excited for people to hear about that. So first of all, you've lived in a lot of different places. Why don't you take everybody through your journey in life and kind of where you were born and where you started, and then as your family kind of moved around a little bit.
Yeah. So started off born in Indiana, then moved to Ohio, then Minnesota, then Massachusetts, and then finally California, where I started playing volleyball.
Okay, so why the moves so often? Was this because of work-related things with your parents, or what was the situation?
Yeah, my mom just kept getting different positions in a company, so that just kind of moved us around a lot. It just, part of the process. But I liked it. It was kind of fun.
See, that's what I was going to ask. It's sort of a weird question to ask. Well, did you enjoy it? Because if that's all you know, that's all you know. You don't know anything else, but you did enjoy. Why did you enjoy the move?
I mean, the first four were kind of like, I mean, I was young. I didn't know as much, or I didn't have the best group of, like, I mean, you just have your childhood friends, and of course, like, sometimes they just don't hold through. So that was just kind of whatever. We were like, oh, okay, we're moving, cool. But the hardest one was when we moved from Massachusetts to California, because I finally thought I, like, found a home. Uh-huh. And so, I mean, the funny situation happened where my mom's a very nice woman. And my grandma is, like, the nicest woman you've ever met. And my grandma had to tell my mom, these kids don't want to move, but sometimes you need bribery. So my mom got me an Xbox and my sister like a thing, and we were like, fine. Because like my mom never let that beforehand. She was like, that was the only situation she ever done that in her life, because we all loved it there. But other than that, it was just pretty smooth sailing.
Well, it worked out for you. You got an Xbox out of it.
I did. I definitely did.
The unfortunate thing is you set the precedent now, because anytime, anything after that, if there was another move in the cards, you were going to be asking for something bigger than an Xbox.
I mean, true, but they knew we were going to stay in California. they loved it there. That was where they wanted to end up. So.
And specifically, tell everybody where in California you guys landed.
We landed in Walnut Creek, California, which is around the Bay Area.
Yeah. Did you enjoy that? I had been there a couple of times. My family had never been to the Bay Area before, and this last summer we went on a family vacation, and we went to the Bay Area, and it's certainly a unique area. What was your experience growing up there?
I mean, it was nice. It was just coming over there. My whole life is volleyball, so it was nice seeing volleyball again, getting motivated to play that.
Yeah.
And just like socially, I found good friends. I had a good time. I mean, the only thing that's different, like, that I can really point out is the obsession of boba, like boba milk teas. Like, that's the first thing that comes to mind, because everybody there, oh, let's go get some boba. Like, after school, let's go get some boba. So that was always the move. But other than that, it's just been, it's honestly, I was in a suburban neighborhood area. So it was just over there. It was pretty normal. Like, from my experience from Massachusetts to California, not the biggest difference except the weather and some things we did, because we didn't have snow.
Sure. Yeah. No snow, certainly, in Northern California. Or if there is, it's a very rare occurrence, to say the very least. Yeah. So give everybody else an idea then, your family dynamic. We mentioned mom and dad. And how many siblings? Like, what's the family dynamic?
Yeah. No. Mom, dad, sister who's a lightweight genius, and then me who's the athletic one in the family.
So just the two kids.
Just the two kids.
Just you and you say lightweight genius. Would you like to explain that?
I love her, but she's a little crazy. She's a great sister, but she got a she got a full ride scholarship to UC Irvine Med School. Mm-hmm. So like she's worked her butt off and she's doing great. Like, and she's working out on top of it. She's awesome. Pretty inspirational, but I hope she doesn't see this, me saying that.
You know, you don't need to let her know that you think so highly of her. That would ruin the dynamic.
I gotcha.
Well, you mentioned what she's doing now, but you weren't the only volleyball player in the family. Your sister was a volleyball player as well. So this is in your DNA. When did volleyball become such an important part in your life?
That was back in, I was like right around 13, 14. Mm-hmm. And again, this is kind of going on a side note for me, but side topic. But the Latvian camp I used to go to, Gudazetis, it was a Latvian volleyball camp where kids play, or not volleyball camp, Latvian high school camp. And volleyball was just huge there. My cousin played, my sister played, everybody played. And then, of course, one of the things that stays in my mind, one of the girls was like, oh my gosh, that guy, he's so hot, like jumping, hitting that. I was like, I'm going to be that guy. So that was one of
hear.
Yeah, that was one of the ticks in the box that finally got it. But of course, there's the motivation for my cousin Marty, who played D3 volleyball, and my sister, who also played D3 volleyball. Massive motivation for me to play. And then finally getting into it in California was, yeah, awesome.
Well, and were you good right away?
So
what was the progression for you?
14th year, I got onto a team, and of course I was like first year, not that good, but I was able to play outside, which they needed. Mm-hmm. And eventually that developed. I really grew my 17s, 18s year, because I always was like, I was never like the top guy on the team. Mm-hmm. I was kind of always second, third outside, like max. So it was always moving up, and then finally I had a spurt in high school. Not growth spurt, but just like I started working out. I started like eating. I started doing a little bit more weights and stuff. And it's just mentally I finally got really locked in, and I was like, dude, I want to do this D1. I want to get to a D1 school doing this. So I just kind of set my path already there, and I just kind of worked hard. So junior year was really – sophomore, junior year is when I really blew up and noticed like I can do this.
You mentioned your Latvian heritage, and when I hear Mix Romanus, I think Latvian. I put those two together because I've had a chance to talk with you, and I know how important your heritage is for you. So my question for you is, how has that heritage molded you as you have gotten older?
Oh, in every way. It's just the main thing that I associate with my Latvianship is the Latvian camp. Like, those guys live or die every single day. Like they're my homies till I die. I can't describe the relationship. The fact that you're from such a small country, mm-hmm, and have that heritage with you, and the fact that you're able to connect with the kids, like, you already, you guys have something that's already so deeply embedded by your parents in you that the moment you meet them, you're like, dude, we're best friends. Like, it's just, like, that dynamic, like, learning there together, like, suffering through school, and just, like, doing all these things, playing volleyball and all this, it's just, like, that connection, that importance to something like Latvian, like the Latvia, is became such an immense part of my life that it's like I'll never part with it.
Well, and you were born here in the United States. Your mom was born in the United States. She was first generation born here in the States. Your dad was born in Latvia. So what was the family dynamic in terms of that, and what role did your Latvian culture play in your household growing up?
Oh, yeah. So the Latvian world from my parents was a huge influence. Like, my mom's grandparents both came from there, both ran away from, the Iron Curtain, the Russians,
sure,
you know?
Yeah.
So they came to America, and like, they still kept the Latvian folk dancing, Latvian singing, a Latvian school. They kind of kept those things running every weekend for all the kids in the area, for all the Latvian families in the area. And that eventually got passed down from my mom to me, and my dad kind of just hopped along because he came straight from the country. He didn't have that same experience. He literally just had the Latvian experience. Mm-hmm. So eventually, like, we learned about certain traditions, certain school topics, certain grammar things. Like, it was an every week occurrence. It was like school. It was like you always learned, multiple aspects, the history, the geography, the grammar, the religion aspects of like Lutheranism and all that. Mm-hmm. And it was just an all inclusive experience that my parents raised me with. And that transferred over to holidays and everything else.
Can you think of what? Because you mentioned that the fact that that you guys were raised Lutheran,
mm-hmm.
and what type of role did your religion play in your life growing up, and what does it mean to you still to this day?
I mean, I recently got confirmed to the Lutheran Church finally, but it should have happened years ago, just because of COVID, but whatever. But it plays a pretty big role in my life. I'm not overly devout, as in like I am following like the specifications of the rules. But my family doesn't spend that much time. Like, my mom is extremely religious. She's like, make sure you pray tonight. I'm like, I always do. And like, it's been embedded in me. Every night I go to bed and I pray. And it's just like certain things like that. And I mean, it plays a pretty big role because of Latvian school. Then we had the Sunday after. Sometimes we went to church. But eventually, because of like athletics, we weren't, again, Lutherans aren't, I mean, for the most part, they're not overly devout, at least from my experience. So I mean, we still believe in God, we still believe in his ideas, his just the whole spiel, but it was mainly just a holiday thing we did with the family and making sure that we had God in our home.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously you're now playing at a religious university. Did that help you? Because you know, sometimes universities that are owned and are operated with a religious background, you know, it doesn't work for everybody. Because you had a religious background, did that help coming to a religious school, even though it's not your religion?
I mean, yeah, in a sense, because I understood the ideas of following certain, I mean, religious beliefs,
yeah.
Following certain, as the LDS Church, I believe, say, the covenants,
yep.
like certain ideas that you need to follow.
It's got the lingo.
Look at that. I took religion class, baby. I'm still taking it. But I totally understood coming in what it was and like the whole idea behind BYU, because my friend David committed here, but sadly he's no longer on the team. But also because I live right down the street from a Mormon church in Walnut Creek,
mm-hmm.
and I actually played in the one of the, like, rec league games. So like, and I had a couple of friends, like poly friends, Brandon Liu, who I haven't talked to in forever. He's probably doing something crazy now, but anyways, like I spent some time in the church before with a couple of families, so I understood the general gist of it and seeing how important it is in those lives. And eventually coming to the school, it did help me shape my religion, that religious mm-hmm. identity, because just if so many people, like all the people here, believe in this thing so devoutly, they're doing something right. Like they know something that I don't, because I wasn't strictly following it. So I've slowly become more religious and like believing more in God and Christ and our Savior and all these things. It's just, it's been a pretty transformative experience, honestly.
I would think that it would be a situation where it would probably relieve some of the stress, where I'm not going to be chastised for being religious or having conversations about religion, knowing that even though it's a different religion, there are other religious conversations going on campus. I would think that would be a comfort to everybody that has that type of mindset.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. But there's always the different, definitely a little like odd one out situation, because they're expecting everybody here to be a part of the church. And me being that I'm not, sometimes it's like, oh, nice. I mean, like, they just sometimes hit me with a different response. So they just never expect it. But it's still nice, because just being able to converse about that topic sometimes is just really nice.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into more of your volleyball upbringing and some of the unbelievable experiences that you've had with the national team and with your Latvian summer camp, which you referenced before. We're going to get to all that when we come back. More with Mix Romanus here on Deep Blue on BYU Radio. Welcome back to the Deep Blue Podcast. My name is Jason Shepherd. Happy to be joined by BYU men's volleyball superstar, Mix Romanus. So, Mix, you referenced your Latvian summer camp that you were part of back in Michigan. So can you elaborate a little bit more on what that actually was and entailed?
Yeah, so I've basically been there my whole life. Ever since I was born, my mom brought me there because that's where she went before. So it was a really impactful experience for her, and then eventually I learned it was a very impactful experience for me. And basically what it includes is, it depends on which grade you're in, honestly. Mm-hmm. So from being born to the end of middle school, that's where like most of the Like it's not the fullest experience. So there's Bizbizban, like the preschoolers, Gabe N, which is like elementary school, Gai Ses, which is middle school, and then Gaveve, which is like the real experience, at least in my mind, which is the high school. And basically what it entails is a bunch of classes. I mean, in the beginning, it's mainly just like little things like you learn a little bit about the history. You learn a little bit about some traditions or things we like our parents used to make or some like traditional Latvian foods or just little like that. It was mainly a summer camp. Mm-hmm. But then in Gaveve, that's when things really turned up because they literally put you through a full course. And sadly, there's no college credit in it. But this it was pretty darn rigorous. It's just so that you can say like you know your Latvian history, and I'd even beg to say that some of us know more about not me, but some of the better students knew more about Latvia than some of the Latvians that are out there because I mean, yeah, no, these wow. these kids like studied their butts off about it. But it's again history, geography, like Latvian school that I was talking about earlier, but just way more rigorous. And then on top of that, there's also activities such as volleyball. Mm-hmm. And that's where one of the biggest impacts started for me about playing volleyball and seeing the popularity there and seeing the how like realizing how fun it is to play with the boys.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. It was just an awesome experience.
Well, and I think you said one time that there was a volleyball tournament that was held at that camp and you said it was your Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like why was that so special for you?
4-2, because I put that community over like my high school community, like my high school friends. Like I mean, of course, it's back to like ask for acceptance from a certain group of people, but like I wanted the like acceptance, the feeling of the acceptance from the people that meant most to me.
Yeah.
So these people meant the most to me, and seeing that, like them seeing me grinding it out just to get to that thing, and then them like cheering me on to that, it would be, I couldn't imagine a better experience, at least for myself. So it's basically 4 guys, 2 girls on each team, and the girl has to touch the ball every time. And that's 4-2. That's why it's called 4-2 weekend. And every time there's like a champion and these guys go crazy. Like we're literally by a lake in a sand lot with a court on it, which is pretty nice. And then like lights shining down. And it's just like, it's almost like the field house around you. I mean, it's not quite the field house. I mean, yeah, no, not quite the field house. But there's still just a ton of people around right. watching.
Like on a smaller scale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And people are just going crazy. And just like cheering you on or trash talking and just like the competitive experience that I felt from that sitting, not being in the final because, again, I wasn't good enough yet. But like just seeing it was unreal. So I was like, man, I'm going to make it here one day. Like it was like seeing it in person, like with the people I love around me. It was just like, this is it. This is where I want to be at one point.
So with those types of experiences, obviously your high school career, at what point did the Latvian national team come calling?
Oh, that was actually after my second year of college, when they saw that a Latvian was playing on BYU, somehow it got brought up to some uncle who talked to the guy of the Latvian Sports Federation. Was like, oh, shoot, there's a Latvian player at BYU. And the coach kind of was like, oh, shoot, we should maybe try to get him out here. So eventually I transferred out of the U.S. Not that I was doing any USA national team or USA teams at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, I might as well just learn for the European experience because I want to play here in a couple of years. Like, just see what these players are up to, see what they're doing. So I transferred through, got through it after, like, sophomore year of college. And it's definitely been a learning experience, to say the least, going out there.
How crazy is that? That it was because the game was on BYU TV mm-hmm. that this door opened up for you. What a blessing that was,
oh,
right?
Oh, it was. It was awesome. Like, the fact of BYU's history of volleyball. And in fact, Taylor Sander, the coach that coaches the national team, coached Taylor Sander professionally. So he knew about BYU. He knew about the whole spiel about the volleyball here. So they just believed in it and was like, all right, yeah, get this guy.
Okay, so you said that you weren't doing anything with Team USA, but were you on the radar? Was there a possibility that something could have happened? Because now that you're on the Latvian team, Team USA, that's no longer an option. Is that correct? Was that a difficult decision at all?
Yeah, though I was on the radar, but eventually, like, I didn't get a call or anything or an email or anything like that about it. But it was a tough call because there's always the dream of playing for the U.S. national team, which would be awesome. But I just wanted the experience. Like, I want the underdog experience because, like, USA, like, they're always fluctuating 1 through 5 usually, like top 5 teams in the world. And right now they're definitely up there. But I wanted to create a story where, like, I just – like with Latvians, at least at the Latvian camp, like they have a drive to like they just want to make something of it, like be great or just like we're a small country, but we're freaking strong. Like we beat the U.S. and the world qualifier or the world championship for hockey for third place. And like the country went crazy. I was there for the Latvia, for the national team. And just being able to have that for Latvia and being on a volleyball team that did that, I think would be the most unreal experience of my life. And that's something I would really want to do one day.
Obviously, we know what it means to you to be a part of the Latvian national team. Mm-hmm. Have your parents, and I don't know if your grandparents are alive, that you've had a chance to talk with them, who are from Latvia. What does it mean to your family to see you participating with the Latvian national team?
Well, to see, my mom is very proud of me. Now, I definitely know my parents, but sadly, my grandparents passed away, except for one, mm-hmm. before I got the ask to go play there. But it's just been, I mean, ton of support, and they're all very happy for me, very proud and excited for what I'm doing, because my mom is always like trying to be my marketing agent and be like, you should tell people when you're going to play in Latvia, or like post this about BYU volleyball. I'm like, okay. And like, I think she gets a really big sense of excitement out of it too, which I'm very happy for. Like, I completely love it, but the support has been unreal.
Let's zero in on your BYU career. What point did BYU come into the mix?
Pretty late, actually. End of my junior year of high school. That's like pretty late for recruit, like, because all the best signees usually sign immediately on the NIL day. But I wasn't there yet. But I was at USA High Performance. Yeah, USA High Performance tournament. So basically, you try for a team, get knocked and put on a team or not. And luckily, I did, and was playing, and then Micah Noone, who's a former assistant coach here at BYU, saw me. He said, I saw you hit this 1-4-4 shot, which is like really sharp cross. And he was like, all right, we need this guy. And ever since then, I was on track to go to BYU, and it was either BYU or Hawaii for me. But BYU definitely stuck out for me.
Well, look, I mean, we certainly know how good BYU's program is and has been historically. Hawaii is also a very good, you know, volleyball school. So you said it was always going to be BYU. Why was that?
I mean, I was always the biggest Hawaii fanboy, I'm not going to lie. Like, that was the goal. And I did get a walk-on offer to go there. But then realizing, like, looking into life, the academic and athletic environment I like better here. Just seeing, like, I mean, honestly, like, knowing that I could get a better degree, because thank goodness for athletic scholarships, because I was probably not going to get into this school academically because I committed a lot of time. But I was very blessed with the opportunity to play here and very thankful, to say the least. And knowing that I could use that to my advantage to get a better degree was just great. And also seeing just the team itself, like Gabby, Davide, Lipe, Will, Esh, like Mitch. And it was just like, it was definitely an experience I wanted to be on with like the top ranked team at the time. And it was awesome. I just knew it at that point. I was like, yeah. And honestly, complete side note, I had this one thing one night. I literally, it's going to sound kind of corny, but I prayed, like, because my mom was pressuring me into a decision, like, Mick, you got to get this done sooner rather than later. I was like, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. I prayed. I was like, God, show me a sign of which school I should go to. So I was like, all right, sleeping, couldn't sleep. I opened my phone, and I was like, I was on Safari on Google, and it literally said BYU versus this. And I was like, oh my gosh, if this isn't a sign, I'm like, I gotta go here. And then after that, it was just like, yeah, no, it was kind of set.
So what was the adjustment to collegiate volleyball like for you?
It was awesome. I mean, I was already on a grind before here because I wasn't the most physical, I wasn't the most talented, but I had a lot of potential. So I really, like, I started taking the weight room much more seriously. So freshman year, I came in as one of the stronger freshmen, at least I believe, and I was able to actually like move weight and do some work. And like, it's like, I'm going to BYU. I have to be BYU material. That's at least what I had in my mind, especially my senior year of high school. Grinded for hours on beach, grinded for hours in the weight room, worked my butt off. And then coming here, it was just nice to finally have a format to it all. Mm-hmm. Like being able to like have a schedule behind it, and like not just having to push myself, but actually having the accountability of like coaches telling me to do this. I was like, all right, bet. Like, I know how this feels. I know how to do this. Like, so I just kept going, and it wasn't even that bad. Of course, the occasional mistake here where I might have missed was like 5 minutes late to a conditioning session. It was like, shoot, I have to do like extra stuff. But other than that, it's just been like an awesome experience. I mean, I loved it.
So you had said that you grew up the biggest Hawaii volleyball fan. Mm-hmm. So when your mom was pressuring you to make the decision, do you think they assumed you probably would go to Hawaii? What was their reaction? What did they think when you said, I'm going to BYU?
No, they wanted me to go to BYU because Hawaii is a great volleyball school, but they wanted a better academic career, like academic path for me.
So they didn't want you on the beach.
Yeah, yeah. No, they were scared of what was going to happen, I guess. But it was just they really wanted me to go to BYU because, of course, the honor code. They loved the requirements and that. But honestly, I needed to choose for myself. My parents were like, it's all right if you don't go there. Choose for yourself. And my coach, I even asked my coach, who both his sons, Joe and Gage Worsley, played for Hawaii and like legendary Hawaii players, honestly. And I was like, where should I go? And the funny thing is, I realized he was a Ute. he went to the University of Utah. So I was like, he's definitely not going to say that. So I had to take it with a grain of salt what he said.
There you go.
It was just, they were happy. And I mean, yeah, no, they supported it and saw that that was coming.
What does that aspect mean to you in terms of, you know, your family not putting pressure on you that, look, this is your decision. This is your life for you to make the decisions that you feel are best for you. How much does that benefit or has that benefited you knowing that your parents and your family have taken that approach with you?
Oh, immensely. Like just them having the belief in me that I can do this, because I know there's always stories about just some helicopter parents. Or, I mean, I completely respect whatever path you have in parenthood to whoever's listening to this. But just having the ability to choose and like make my own path in life, and they supported that. Like they wanted me to choose my path and follow it like what my dream was, which has been amazing. So, I mean, I couldn't thank them more for it, for like the peace of mind of letting me have my decision, even though like, of course, they wanted BYU, and that, of course, it came into as a factor, but it was just like, I knew this was the place for me. I knew I wanted to be here.
Okay, so while you were here, you mentioned on BYU Sports Nation that you actually took a mission prep class.
Yes.
Okay, so now, this I'm fascinated by. You're not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, so why take a mission prep class? What was that about?
Okay, so my counselor at the time, both her parents were the teachers in it, okay. And they loved BYU men's volleyball, and so like, when I came into the class, like I just showed up. I did the work. Like I'm not gonna like, especially if I have given the opportunity. I'm not gonna just like walk off or do whatever. But these people were the Mullins, nicest people I've ever met. And the reason why that happened again is through that I needed another credit. Last second thing. Oh, my parents have a class. I was like, oh shoot, I'll go take it. And it was honestly a great experience because at the end of it, I talked to them about like, they're like, hey Mix, would you be okay with talking about Lutheranism at the end of class? Just so the other mission prep students mm-hmm. could actually have an experience about people having other religions over there or like wherever they're going to do their missions. So I was like, oh yeah, cool. So I just told them about that. And it was honestly a great experience. But honestly, I just basically got into it because of my academic advisor's parents, or like they were her parents.
All right. So as we wrap things up, and again, I can't thank you enough for being willing to sit down. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. What's the next year, next 2, 3, 5 years look like for you, do you think? Or what do you hope it looks like for you?
What I hope is one more year at BYU yep. after this year for sure, and then go play professionally. And the goal, of course, these are lofty goals because I'm talking about the best of the best in the world right here, but either play in Poland or Italy because those are the two best leagues in the world right now. And surprisingly, Turkey's actually coming up right now because they're starting to get a bunch of good players, or a couple of good players to come play for them. But go play over there. I mean, for as long as I can, and until the body gives out, and then maybe go to beach. But that's honestly the biggest goal, is to go professionally overseas right now.
Well, there's obviously a lot to do here with the BYU men's volleyball team, mm-hmm. and we can't wait for that season to get going. Mix, thank you so much for doing this. This was awesome. You were great. I hope you enjoyed it as well.
No, I loved it. Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
You bet. Thanks to my guest, Mix Romanus. My name is Jason Shepherd. Josh Bergstrom and Ben Hall produced this episode. Deep Blue senior producer is Cleon Wall. You could download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.